Welcome to the Knock Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Canever.
On today's episode, we are trying something brand new, a holiday gift card for all the soccer and Knoxville, and bonus points for the Knox soccer gifts. And just to get it out of the way, top of the show, yes, we do have a merch shop where you can grab Knoxville specific wares. You can put them on your head. You can carry stuff in them. You can put them on your body. Our gift guide will be on top of that. So grab some merch. Link in will be in the show notes. Grab some of these gifts and you know, have happy holidays. But Brian, before we get into the goods, let's talk soccer. What's been happening in the world of footy? Lay it on us, big guy.
Yeah, man. So there has been a lot happening. I've tried my best to keep up with most of it. We'll just kind of do a little roundup here, Patty. So in the men's and women's college cup in the world of college soccer, we don't care so much about the men since we don't have, you know, a D1 team here, but Notre Dame and Clemson are playing in the final.
Okay, not interested. Move on.
on the women's bracket, which was so exciting, like multiple goal fests in the women's bracket, Florida State, the Seminoles, won their fourth ever national title, the culmination of an undefeated season. They went 22-0-1. They beat Stanford 5-1 in the final, and it was actually the only game of the NCAA tournament that they were scored against in.
What?
Basically, yeah. So they allowed only one goal in the whole tournament. And we care because that was the first ever national title for our departed former Lady Vol head coach, Brian Penske, and yep, Taylor Huff, who we'd previously had on the pod.
Knox Soccer Podcast alums, now national champions. Them, yes. Amazing. So amazing.
I was told, in my day life, I work in marketing and public relations, and doing that with professors at UT, I've been told multiple times, when it comes to academic research, that correlation is not causation. But I will say, I want to believe that appearing on our show caused, in some small infinitesimal way, Brian Penske, a fellow Brian, and Taylor, to just get that, you know, extra little juice they needed to win Absolutely. That national title. And yep, good on them. Good on them. So that was great to see in the world of the so College cool Cup. See. In big international soccer news, the Copa America is coming back to the United States.
To America.
Yes. June 20th, July 14th. Patty, you and I were actually together for the last time that the Copa America was here in 2016.
Yes, we were.
It wasn't as, wonderful or optimistic time. I think I might have been slightly optimistic before the final started. We were both there in MetLife Stadium when Argentina played Chile. I was hoping that Argentina would finally get redemption after losing two goalless finals in the World Cup in 2014 to Germany, then in 2015 to Chile. And no, they went goalless again, lost in penalty kicks. Messi, Messi missed his penalty kick right in front of our section. Oh, man. It was
It just wasn't their time.
No. Took forever for us to get out of the stadium, so we just had to sit with our depression. Then Messi announced his retirement right after. Yep. Fortunately, came back. You know,
dark days.
But so we're recording on Saturday afternoon. We've got 194 days left. You could go to the Copa America website and actually sign up to be alerted when the tickets will be released. And I am very interested because we've got some fascinating groups to look at. We'll link that in the show notes, but right now, we're looking at Group A. That's Argentina, the defending champions, Peru, Chile, and either Canada or Trinidad and Tobago, our arch nemeses. In Group B, we've got Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, and Jamaica. In Group C, the U.S. men's national team will be joined by Uruguay, which recently defeated both Argentina in Brazil and leads the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers. Very terrifying team coached by Marcelo Bielsa, Rosario-born Argentinian, formerly coach of Leeds United. And they will be joined in that group by Panama and Bolivia. And then Group D, we've got Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and either Costa Rica or Honduras, depending on who advances from the playoff. So just looking at that, you know, Argentina, Peru, Chile, and either Canada or Trinidad, I think many commentators have said that Argentina is probably favorites and they, you know, have the easier route to the final because they would then go up against Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, or Jamaica. They don't face Brazil. They don't face Uruguay potentially until the final. Argentina will be playing its opener in Atlanta against either Canada or Trinidad. So I will most certainly be there for that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll play their second game against Chile in MetLife in New Jersey, which I'm like, you know, just to relive that and poetic, you know, you can't rewrite history, right? But like to not have that sour memory,
right?
That'd be nice to go to. And then they play, you know, their final game in Miami. The U.S. men, they open in Arlington, Texas. Then they are in Atlanta for their second game and then their final games in Kansas City. So we might be there for that Atlanta game as well. Patty, I mean, just here in that group, U.S. men who in their most recent game lost to Trinidad
2-1.
Won't play again until they face Slovenia on January 20th, and then they've got a Nations League semifinal against Jamaica. But like the U.S. men going up against Uruguay, Panama, Bolivia, do you have any like gut reactions? How does that make you feel?
I'm concerned. I mean, just keeping up with the USA lately and just kind of just getting into a stride. So I think it tremendous opportunity here. You know, we have things to play for. You know, Berhalter 2.0, get the new kids in there, in on the team. I'm excited regardless and we'll definitely go and see them to play. But, cautiously optimistic, maybe that's the best way to put it.
Cautiously, most certainly. I read the Athletics, recap of the groups and they did a little analysis, predictions. And they were like, you know, for the U.S. to have a successful tournament, they've got to make either the semifinal or the final.
Yep.
Well, they will potentially run into either Brazil or Colombia in if they make it out of the group, they've run into Brazil or Colombia. So, I mean, they're not going to have an easy route there. But the first comment was Berhalter out. And it has like 300 likes. It's like this analysis. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm exaggerating. He's got 44 likes, but it's a top comment on there. So it's just like, don't care, don't care, don't care. Berhalter out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I liked it too. That's our U.S. men's national team news. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, U.S. women also played recently. They had 3-0 and 2-1 wins against China in December. It was last two fixtures for their caretaker manager before Emma Hayes, current Chelsea coach, takes over the reins in 2024. Super exciting. Emma Hayes is one of the biggest names in women's soccer, who previously was here in the United States with the like nascent NWSL, but has been in Chelsea for a really long time. Mm-hmm. You know, has won like multiple league titles, FA Cups, made the Champions League final, but the loss 2 years ago, has coached Sam Kerr. Oh my gosh. Like, if there were some way we could like rewrite naturalization rules, you know, and be like, I know she's played for Australia 600 times, but if we could take Sam Kerr with us, but super exciting stuff with the U.S. women's national team. I'm saving one Knox for last so we could get into this together.
Yep.
You know, English Premier League, we've got actually Everton's been on a good run recently. They've gone 4-1-1 in their last fixtures. They play Chelsea on Sunday. And it's, you know, it's ironic that it took being deducted 10 points by the Premier League for Everton to be like, F this, and just like go completely at it. You know, they had a great win against Newcastle United, and Roger Bennett in the Men in Blazers, the Raven newsletter, talking about like, you know, pistol whipping poor Anthony Gordon, who had abandoned Everton for Newcastle two seasons ago. But, you know, Everton got deducted 10 points for like one financial breach, which has left them just above the relegation zone. And then they play Chelsea, who have spent about $1 billion on transfers in the past season and a half. And you got to assume that the financial fair play stuff will come into effect for them. You know, there's got to be breaches there. And then I think Man City, the reigning champions, I think they've got 225 breaches of Premier League protocol, you know, code of conduct. I doubt anything will happen to them based on just, you know, if Everton lost 10 points for one breach, you know, you got to imagine that like Man City might be playing down below Wrexham in the National League again in the fifth tier. Though what's more likely to happen is that the, you know, the Premier League will announce like some new lucrative sponsorship with like Dubai and crown Man City champions for life or something.
Exactly. No.
It's heartbreaking. Arsenal right up there. Liverpool won today, Saturday, unjustly at Crystal Palace. The referee gave him a little hand, you know, sent off Jordan Ayew for blowing on Mohamed Salah, or it might have not been Salah, even though Salah got the first goal. But yeah, Jordan Ayew blew on a Liverpool player. Referee was pulled out the second yellow. And then, of course, as everyone expected, Liverpool came back. But Arsenal are right up there. Patty, how are you feeling about your Gooners?
I'm feeling good, to be honest. You informing me that they're doing well is as much as I've been up to date with them. We are just prepping for baby boy coming and whatnot, and catching up on all the sleep that I can before I'm disrupted with that. But the Gooners doing well is great. It's a great feeling. And it'd be awesome if Man City would get deducted to the National League, and so we just don't have to deal with them anymore.
How amazing. You know? It'd be like the only time you've seen that happen. So, you know, a decade ago, Rangers in Scotland went into administration and they got dropped all the way down to the fourth division. Then you've seen like Juventus in Italy lose points in the past for match fixing and all this stuff. I doubt we'll see it. But, you know, you never know. I will say on the sleep front, Patty, I think it functions like hibernation for bears, where if you just accumulate as much as possible. I'm running on fumes. Last night, actually, I got like 5 hours of sleep, and I woke up at 4 because Haley was feeding Elio, our third, and I was like, I gotta get up. She was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm bright, you know, I'm like wide awake. It's like my body's like, nope, this is good, you're good at 5. That's a nice run of sleep. And the final piece of the roundup is our boys in blue, One Knoxville SC. They have their home opener set for March 23rd against Lexington. That's at 6:30 p.m. at Regal Soccer Stadium. So we've got, you know, a schedule up. You can go ahead and buy season tickets. We'll share the link to that in the show notes. But the biggest piece of news is that we've got the list of players who are returning, the list of players who are in discussion with the club, and the players who are departing. So, you know, among those returning players are some faces that we know, and I think a lot of people were happy to see them return. And that's James E. Thomas, who had, you know, some spells on the sideline last year due to injury. Danny Fernandez is coming back. You got the Bash brothers, Jordan Skelton and Jalen Chrysler in midfield returning. Yassine Van Der Plume, whose name never gets less fun to say, Frank Ross, you know, several others. I was excited to see some other Knock Soccer Podcast alums, Gio Calixtro, Rodolfo Castro, and Angelo Kelly, return to the team. No surprise there with Kelly. You know, he was one of the captains. And then we've got a handful of players that are still in discussion. Some of them are kind of concerning because Sean Lewis, you know, the safe hands Lewis, golden gloves Lewis, is in discussion with the club. And we hope he stays. He was one of the bright spots last season. We couldn't score a goal to save our lives in most games, and he kept us in it by his, you know, hands alone. So concern there. Jimmy Villalobos also in conversation. Jake Keegan and Ilya Illich are the two others that are in discussion with the club. Any thoughts on those returning players or the players in discussion, Patty?
Seeing the returning players, you know, it just brings a smile to my face. I'm like, oh yeah, those are the guys that I definitely, you know, want to see on the field again. And I feel like all have contributed well to the team this past season, and, you know, some of them two seasons. So really excited to see, be honest, all of them coming back and just being like, okay, us not getting into the playoffs, like, is it just going to be the whole team upended and we dump everybody? It's like, oh no, we have a good core of guys coming back, which is great. And then, yeah, I'm concerned about Sean Lewis as well. Just because, yeah, he's one of our best players here. Jake Keegan is interesting that talks are continuing to follow him. You know, I think he did his best, but I feel like having a bigger, taller forward to lob some balls to would be great. So, but yeah, I would love to see all four of those guys come back, because I mean, they were definitely put their played their heart out and were committed. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who does come back of those four, and then what other tools are we bringing? You know, because we need something new. We need some game changers. You know, we definitely need more to show up on the pitch to get for a playoff run. You know, and it's tough to say that's what we're aiming for, you know, where it's like when we first started out, it's like, we're going all the way, you know, it's like, oh, well, never mind. We're just trying to get to the playoffs, which is, you know, half the teams. So
yep. Half the teams.
Fingers crossed. Teams.
Yeah. We've got several players who are departing. The two that made me the saddest are Sam Fletcher, who's an OG back from season one. You know, played his college soccer at UC Santa Barbara, came and joined us, and, you know, was like a pit bull in midfield. Didn't play as much in our first professional season, but, you know, still was a reliable, like, utility player. And Peter Swinkletoes, yep, has departed in his second season. Also featured just during a spell when Sean Lewis was injured, played in the Open Cup loss to Memphis. But hard to see him go. He was the first player that had been announced, or among those first players that had been announced that he'd be joining the club back when they made their announcement to go up into USL One. The surprise is Derek Waldeck, because of, you know, what little offensive power we had last season was really driven by him in that left wing back position, sending in crosses. He led the team in assists. And, you know, he'll need to be replaced. And then we've lost two other wide backs in Jan-Erik Leinhaus, the German who didn't feature much, and Kyle McDowell. Gabriel Claudio, the defender, is also gone. And Matty Vowinkel, the forward. Though, like with Keegan, you know, Keegan was our leading scorer, solid player, veteran in the league. But, I mean, you couldn't blame the coaching staff for getting rid of their whole front line, you know, all the forwards, because the forwards didn't really do much.
I feel like Derek Waldeck, I mean, that's the one that surprised us both the most, just because of just the work he put in, and how he connected play and how much McKeever used him, you know? So it'd be interesting to hear the story there. We might be able to get that. We might not, but I think biggest thing is, all right, who are replacing him with, you know, hopefully we can find someone just as capable and then some attacking power, and that'll be great. So
we shall see, but that's all I've got for the world of soccer, Patty. Now we get to talk about some of the fun stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Markman's Diamonds, Knoxville's choice for diamonds and fine jewelry since 1976. Visit markmansdiamonds.com, as well as Union Place Bar and Grill, your family-friendly spot to enjoy the beautiful game, delicious food, and live music in Knoxville. Visit unionplacebar.com. Well, I mean, world of soccer is definitely fun, but yeah, it's cool to kind of do a new year roundup of soccer and whatnot. So we'll be continuing to keep you guys up to date on that. But yeah, let's talk the soccer gifts. All right, Brian. So it is the gift giving season. And I don't know about you, but I personally need some suggestions for the soccer lovers in my life. So we decided to come together and then fire it back and forth of a couple suggestions of Knoxville items, soccer items, and some bonus points for some Knox soccer items. I'll start it off here, and I think this will kind of go for double as the Knox soccer items. I'm just going to put a blanket statement out there. One of the best gifts to get, it won't break the bank, is just a scarf to any local team or local, you know, supporter club of the team. I have plenty of Arsenal scarves and whatnot, but I like grabbing a One Knock scarf. But I think I'm most proud of grabbing the Scruff scarf at one of their tailgates. And they had a couple different designs, which is great. And we can link their merch store. Also, the local chapter of the American Outlaws had a wonderful kind of Tennessee theater design one, which I don't think their link up is anymore, but I'm sure we can, Giles can scrounge up some more and whatnot. But just grabbing any scarf supporting a local soccer club or a local supporters team, I think is a great way to go. And to be honest, I mean, it's like a thing. It's like, it's a scarf. You can put it behind your desk like Brian has over there, or you can wear it with pride and whatnot. So if you have someone in the soccer realm and you don't know what team they support, just get them a scarf. They're going to enjoy it either way. So that's my first one. Brian, thoughts on that one and what you got?
Man, that's a great idea. I love soccer scarves. I've got a collection of soccer scarves here in the background. So I've got my, you know, Everton Forward Madison, since we met with their supporters group and they gifted us some. The public radio station in Nashville, their local NPR affiliate, sent me a soccer scarf
because
I did an interview with them for work, and the guy I spoke with saw that I had a bunch of soccer scarves in the background.
Love it.
He got me one. I've got a Celtic scarf, which my buddy Jamie Gregg, who may or may not listen to the podcast, fellow Scotsman that I've played soccer with. You know, when he went back to Scotland last year for the holidays, I was like, hey, man, could you bring me back a Scottish team scarf? Like, it doesn't matter which one. It could be fourth, fifth division. You know, I prefer it to be a random team. You know, my affinities are for Hearts of Midlothian in the Premier League. And he was like, sure, no problem. And then he brought me back a Celtic scarf. And he was like, look, if you're going to watch Scottish football, there's only one thing to watch. And then, you know, I've got the Knox Pro Soccer scarf. If you remember the early days of One Knox.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Got the One Knox, Rosario Central, Lady Vols, Argentina, Everton, USA. So I could use a scarf. Speaking of scarves, so the One Knoxville Holiday Store is open, and I'm sure you checked it out, Patty.
Yep.
They've gone with that orange theme, man, and they have a beautiful soccer scarf. They've got a holiday sweater. They've got a crew neck shirt, but man, that scarf is just like
it's
beautiful
dope.
To look at. It's going for $30 on their site. They've got a bundle too, if you want. I've never been a holiday sweater guy because I don't want to spend money on a thing that I only get to wear once. You know, and some people may feel that way about scarves. I don't wear scarves. I just collect them. I've never seen anybody who just hangs up holiday sweaters. I think Spencer's just hangs them up.
I feel probably Matt Osborne, if we actually got him on a Zoom, he probably had his sweaters, you know, a robust sweater collection, you know. Matt, let us know in the comments.
So you could check those out. And we'll drop the link in the show notes, but you get some One Knoxville gear, support local, support orange, and support soccer. What else you got, Patty, on your list?
Well, I just went, so you go. We'll go back and forth.
Right. We're counting that as you. Okay. You know, at the top of my list, I'm a writer, so books are always at the very top of my list.
Yep.
And I've got a pretty robust, to reuse your term, collection of soccer books. But I've actually put together a short list of a few that I would recommend to anyone interested in soccer curious. Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby, the Arsenal supporter. I read that book when I was in college for the first time. I reread it earlier this year. And it's just a great introduction. I think, you know, anybody who loves sport, they made an American version of the movie using baseball and Jimmy Fallon. So anybody who loves a team a lot and suffers with that team and has supported a club through 30 or 40 years of their life, that's a great read.
And it is about supporting Arsenal, but I feel like even Spurs fans or any fan of a soccer establishment is going to enjoy that book just because of just the richness of the fan experience, right?
100%. Also on that list, another college read, How Soccer Explains the World by Franklin Foer. That book was first released in 2004. And, you know, Franklin Foer travels around the world and you know, looks into rivalries and soccer culture, how soccer explains economics and tribalism and nationalism. It's a fascinating read. You know, he does a segment on the Old Firm. He goes to Italy, does AC Milan. And so when Bear Den Books opened here in Knoxville, I actually went over there and they asked me for a couple of recommendations to keep. And I suggested How Soccer Explains the World. I was in the bookstore earlier today dropping off some copies of my book, and I saw that they've got it displayed. So that's either one, good, because they've sold copies of it and so they keep it displayed, or like two, they're like, we got to get rid of this book. Let's put it where everybody can see it. This is a bad recommendation, Ryan. But I think it's
the first, you know, if it isn't in the clearance bin, you know, then I feel like it's the first one, you know. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Outcast United in the clearance bin, which is a great read and one that I encourage, and that's about you know, a group of soccer players. I believe that's in Georgia or North Carolina. I can't recall. I reread it last year. But that's not one of my recs. My other recs are The World is a Ball by John Doley, John Doyle. And that's a great book about, you know, how, again, soccer and the world, how we see the world through a soccer lens. The National Team by Caitlin Murray, which is a few years old. And Caitlin Murray is a great reporter, writes for ESPN now about women's soccer. I read that when Alba was born. After I'd wake up early, I'd go sit on the couch and read that book about the U.S. women's national team. Soccer in the Sun and Shadow by Eduardo Galeano, the Uruguayan writer. It's available in English and Spanish, and it's just several anecdotes. It's anecdotal storytelling.
That's cool.
You know, several decades old, but it's a beautiful little book, very poetic. And then my last rec, actually, because Haley bought me one of these books last year for Christmas, Men in Blazers, they have two books that I'd recommend. Encyclopedia Blazer Tanica, which is the first ever tweed book. I think that's how they promoted it. The first ever book with a tweed cover.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just got their soccer, you know, terminologies and definitions. And then last year they released Soccer Gods, which is their list of 100 favorite players according to them. There are chapters on all the greats that we know and love. So that was a great book. It's my coffee table book.
Actually, that's awesome.
That's one of the books that I keep on my coffee table. So whenever anybody walks into my house, they're like, man, this guy knows soccer, right? It's like my identity marker, you know, it's like, oh, it's soccer guy.
Yep. Yep.
So those are my recommended books. Awesome. And I'll share some links to those. What do you got, Patty? What else?
Just to comment on the soccer books. Yeah. Fever Pitch is incredible. And I think your recommendations of the How Soccer Explains the World is a Ball, and Soccer Gods, those are definitely on my list now. I knew Soccer Gods was out there and I just missed it and it got buried in some other stuff, but yeah, grabbing those other two would be great too. All right, I'm gonna go a little bit, yeah, okay, this next one I'll skip to the next one. I'm going to recommend a mystery box for a soccer kit. And now if no one understands what that is, as you can go, actually there's a lot of them out there, but the original one is awaydaysfootball.com, and it's called the mystery kit. And what it is, you just put in your size and you purchase it. It's $35. But what they do is they send you a kit from smaller clubs from many countries, including England, Spain, Italy, Scotland, Germany, and many others. Just a random kit from a random team, probably in a lower league or division. And it's just a super cool way to, one, support a team, but also kind of like to explore. You know, you might get a second tier Costa Rican team, or you won't get a Wrexham kit anymore. You know, you'll probably get one, you know, Notts County or something like that. But it's just a super cool way to kind of like express your soccer pandemonium and whatnot while exploring and finding a new team. And a couple of the podcasts I listened to, Total Soccer Show, a couple of the hosts there, they have Mr. Kits, and they say those are the kits they wear out the most, because it's, you're never going to run into a fan or going to cause some commotion and whatnot, but supporting a random third tier team from Iran or whatnot is just a cool thing. So $35, grabbing a mystery kit. That's my second pick. So
that's a great piece. You know, I last year, I would go on Jersey Loco's website. You know, Jersey's got all these kits, imitation kits. They look and feel like the real kits. Mm-hmm. I believe that they probably have somebody they pay in Taiwan or Vietnam that steal the kits off the back of the trucks where they're the warehouses where they're made. But I remember looking through and they've got like their like lower league section. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I never felt fully comfortable buying yep. one of those jerseys. But what's nice is like, you know, for us, like we can't wear another USL League One jersey
yeah,
other than
exactly.
one notch.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Even in England, I can only wear an Everton jersey. And mm-hmm. in Argentina, I've got only one jersey I could wear. But it's nice when you're like, look, I'm like very open-minded. You know, like I take a pan approach, I take a world approach to things. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, if you get me a second tier Turkish league team, sounds great. You know, first division Senegalese champions. Awesome. And on that note, speaking of jerseys real quick, Patty, I would recommend going on Olive and York's website. I recently bought the Starry Night kit. I don't know if any are left, but Olive and York for the holiday season re-released three retro favorites for the U.S. men's national team. I think they've got the Where's Waldo in there too.
So nice.
$70 with shipping. Olive and York is another great website that has soccer kits, and they've even got some, you know, some obscure ones that you would have never imagined. So I got me the Olive and York U.S. men's national team jersey. Can't wait for it to come. I didn't buy the jersey last year that they used for the World Cup because I thought it was really ugly with that, you know, center crest thing.
Right. Yep.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to rock this one for when they go up against the mighty Slovenians. Actually, the rematch of 2014 World Cup, if anybody, you know, remembers, the U.S. was down 2-0 against Slovenia, came back. 2010 World Cup, sorry. Came back 2-2. Goal from Landon Donovan in that one. There's my another adjacent recommendation. I've got a few more, Patty. You want to hit one? You know, what else do soccer fans need to celebrate, especially when they're far away from their teams like you and I? Go in for a Vuvuzela. Vuvuzela is a great investment. I pulled it up on Amazon, and, you know, there are many versions of the Vuvuzela. Some sell for as low as $13. So don't bring it to a future one Knoxville game, please, because nobody wants to hear that in the stadium, but within the comfort of your own home.
Yep.
Just like how in the South, I was told people are always going to blow up fireworks no matter what the law is. Just get used to it. Just blow that Vuvuzela as loud as you can at 7:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning when you're watching a Premier League match. Get yourself a Vuvuzela.
Yep. That is so great. It's just an integral part of the soccer fandom and zeitgeist and whatnot. There's an amazing podcast episode about the Vuvuzela and how it came to be and defined. What World Cup was that? Was that the...
South Africa 2010.
South Africa, yeah, 2010. Yeah. Yeah.
I can still hear it ringing in my ears.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, yep. So I'll link that podcast episode there. So... all right, so let's do. I'll do one more, and you do one more, and we're going big on this one. Let's see. Where's my notes here? All right, so my can't believe I thought about this one. All right, my suggestion is a holiday or birthday greeting from a soccer great off of Cameo.com. All right, here's a list of people. Mia Hamm, $125, can wish you a happy birthday. Brad Guzan, $75. Walker Zimmerman, $75. Brandi Chastain, she's a little bit more expensive. Two-time Olympian here, medalist here, $250. But it's just crazy going through here. Harry Maguire, Chiellini's on here. Xhaka is on here. You can get any of these guys or gals to wish you a happy birthday, or happy holidays, or whatever else you want to do. Rub it in the face of a friend of yours on an opposing team, for that player to, you know, wish them luck or whatnot. Jumping on cameo.com and getting a soccer legend to wish you a merriment, is that's my suggestion.
That's it. So this is where I really admire entrepreneurs who are so like bright with business. They were like, you know, sometimes you'll ask somebody to record something for you, or, you know, like if you meet a celebrity, you might want to ask him to make a phone call for you, something like that.
Yep.
Somebody figured out, like, let's monetize this and make it a business. I know if I had to pick one person, it'd be Ray Hudson, the man himself.
Yes, the
guy who is my inspiration anytime I get in the commentary booth, and he charges $150 with 24-hour turnaround. So, you know, you want a call from Ray Hudson, that's a yep, great one.
Exactly.
Mario Kempes, who led Argentina to the 78 World Cup, who I've actually spoken to face-to-face before in Bristol, Connecticut at ESPN headquarters. Luis Robles, who I also interviewed, yep. $30. Man. So my final gift guide, and actually it's a gift that people can give to the both of us, not only, you know, they can give it to themselves. So, I have a good friend, listener of the pod, DJ Loop, who's super excited to go see Man United in Everton this spring in England. Him and his wife are flying out to see that game. And so I thought, how fun would it be to go to England to watch a Premier League match? And we know the next Knox Soccer Podcast Derby is going to be played. It's the very last fixture of the Premier League season. Everton take on Arsenal in London. And that... that game, let's see when it's scheduled for. It's end of May. And I was just looking up, what is the cost of flights to get to England around that time? It would cost us about $1,200, $1,300 if we wanted to make a weekend out of it.
Okay,
get there on a Thursday.
Yep, absolutely, yep,
maybe
tour
the stadium on Friday, Saturday, watch the game on a Sunday, hang out in London on Monday, have some fish and chips, you know, eat some meat pies. And then we return late Monday night, early Tuesday morning. So it just takes $1,300 for both of us. That's $2,600 collectively.
Yeah,
we can scrounge up the money for tickets. But if you do have somebody you love, there's no greater gift than getting them tickets to see the team that they love. So, you know, if you haven't thought of it yet, why not, you know, pay for your loved one and you to go out and see either a Premier League match, an MLS match, a Copa America match. I mean, I'm going to ask Haley to cash in my birthday present for Copa America tickets, because I'm sure they're going to sell like 250 or something.
Yep.
I'm going to spend $1,000 for all of us to go see Argentina, you know, lose 1-0 to Trinidad. So we'll see how it goes. But that's the last recommendation on my list, Patty.
That is awesome. Just go ahead and, I love that suggestion. Just get over there and then figure out the tickets while you're over there. You know, it might be hard to get an EPL like normal fixture, but watching a female side of your favorite team play, or jumping over and trying to watch Wrexham, you know, a little bit of a jaunt across the countries there. But yeah, just get over to England. So yeah, $1,300. If anyone wants to send us two lucky lads over there, drop us an email, knocksoccerpodcast@gmail.com. We can send you our Venmo for $2,600 to get us over there. We will make that happen. All right, dear listener, go ahead. I didn't hear you. What do you got?
Buy some of our merch. That would make us happy.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Buy a lot of our merch and we'll make that happen regardless. So, dear listener, that's all we got for you today on the Knox Soccer Podcast. A nice little end of the year roundup of what soccer has been happening, and a little bit of a gift guide to get your soccer gift giving list and buying going. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to sign up for our newsletter at thenoxsoccerpodcast.com. And if you like what you're hearing, let us know. Comments in the DMs, email us, and be sure to support us over at our own little merch store, and we'll have links for that in the show notes here. And with that, we'll see you on the next one, which is going to be in the new year. All right.
See you in 2024, guys.
See ya. Peace.